You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Justin Rose returns to the world number one spot with a successful defence of the Turkish Airlines Open.
Yeah, really nice. That's just something to be proud of. It doesn't mean much, it doesn't give you much. It certainly doesn't make you one under par on the first tee next time you play, but it's just something to be proud of for sure.
The Englishman got the better of Hao Tong Li in a playoff to retain a title for the first time in his career.
It's taken me a long time to do it, and maybe I haven't won enough tournaments to give myself enough opportunities to defend. This golf course obviously suits my eye, and when you do find a golf course that does suit your eye, you feel like you should give yourself a few opportunities to win there. So to do it back-to-back is very special this week.
A look back at the best of the action to come. Plus, we'll also preview the penultimate event of the season, the Nedbank Golf Challenge hosted by Gary Player. And I'm joined by two-time European Tour winner Jamie Spence. Jamie, good day to you.
Good day to you, Robert. Good day to everybody that's listening.
And good day to Justin Rose, his team and his family, because it's all going rather well.
Could it go any better?
No.
I don't think it could.
The world number one.
Yeah, he's just turning... Well, he's already been a great player, but he's just turning into such a consistently great... I don't like using the word consistent, because it reminds me of...
It's not...
Average.
Yes, it's not... It hasn't got enough flair in it, has it?
No, it hasn't. And it doesn't really portray what he is. And he's just a brilliant golfer now with... I don't see a weak link in his game. I think his putting a few years ago was a weak link in his game, Justin, but he's worked it out. And his all-round play is absolutely phenomenal. The way he manages himself, the way he plans his schedule, everything about him, his fitness... He's just in the peak of his career.
Yeah, and it's great to have him across on the European Tour.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. Hao Tong Li, used to be Li Hao Tong, but it's Hao Tong Li now. He's played well there before. He narrowly missed out, I believe, when Torbjørn Erlandsson won around there. And now he really probably would be looking at this thinking it's one he should have won.
Probably.
Yeah.
He's a golfer that likes to take courses on. He likes to shoot low scores. He shot 63 in the second to last round here on Saturday. Really put him in the mix. And that eagle he made on 15 yesterday was what a shot he hit into that green.
Because he's a fader and he hit a high draw with I think a four iron.
And it stuck really nicely.
Yeah.
He's got all the game. I remember the last round he played at Birkdale a couple of years ago. As well was terrific, gave him a chance to win the Open. So he's a quality player, won in Dubai early in the year, and he can shoot a score, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he started three shots in front of Justin Rose. Now, a lot of people at home might think that's a big lead. I mean, that can be puffed away in one hole.
It can be, yeah. Well, you make a bogey and someone makes a birdie, suddenly it's game on. Plus, I've always said this, by the time you go out, you tee off, it's possible that somebody in one of the slightly earlier groups than you but has a really good start and suddenly you're not in the lead, especially if you bogey the first. He got off to a sticky front nine, Hao Tong Li.
How much fun is the Regnum Carrier Golf Resort?
Yeah, it looks a lot of fun, doesn't it? Yeah.
Have you been there?
No, I haven't been there. It's a beautiful strip of land there where all the golf courses are. Everyone raves about
Lots of pine trees and a bit of heather there.
Looks
and
fantastic.
Yeah, the way they've sort of worked it in amongst the woods and the trees, it's really, really...
It's
a resort
great
course.
Yeah.
You'd absolutely want to go and play it.
Yeah, and everyone... I know quite a few people who have gone there and they rave about it. So, a great venue and it produces some exciting golf.
The thing about Lee's day, starting with that three-shot gap back to Justin Rose... He was kind of all over the place the first half a dozen holes or so. He was really doing well just to be one over par.
Yeah, he was. Looked a bit edgy, I'd have to say. It's not easy having a lead, especially with Justin Rose breathing down your neck. And Justin just chips away, played some good stuff, and before you know it, he was in front.
The thing is, you know that Justin's not going to throw it away. You kind of, that's built in.
He nearly did.
He tried to, and in the end, Hao Tong Li did in the playoff.
Yeah, it was scrappy at the end.
And late three putts for Justin Rose.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you just know that
you don't feel he's going to give it to you, do you?
Justin's going to produce some golf, and he did, and he got a two-shot lead. But then Lee produced that terrific shot on 15, shot of the week, and started putting the pressure back on Justin, and few holes to go, you weren't really sure who was going to win. And then Justin had a bad mistake on 17 and that 18th hole, anything can happen on that 18th hole,
thing,
we saw it.
Yeah, well, the thing for Justin was it wasn't so much the three-putt, it was the 8-iron. I think it was 179 yards and he hit an 8-iron. He pitched it, 100 and nearly 190 yards. So he had a 50-footer.
Yeah.
It wasn't a guaranteed two-putt.
No, and the greens are quite slopey there.
Yeah.
Justin said in his speech afterwards how it was difficult to putt yesterday. where especially where the pin positions were. So yeah. If you do, people always say that, don't they? Say, well, why don't you hit the middle of the greens and two putt? It's not that easy to two putt. You watch on TV, you think, oh, he's going to two putt that, but it's not easy.
TV flattens everything out.
Flattens it all out, so you're better off taking off on the pins. Yeah, so Justin let him back in.
But both men coming up the last hole would never have thought that if they make a par, they were going to win it, and they both bogeyed it.
Yeah, they wouldn't have thought that, would they? I thought Justin's bunker shot was
fantastic.
That was one of the shots of the week.
Yeah, it was a fantastic bunker shot.
Down
awkward
slow,
lie.
Right at the back of the bunker.
Yeah,
you're not sure
shot.
The lip's in your way.
And the putt was difficult. It wasn't. It was a six-footer, but it was a lot of movement in it.
His was more difficult than Haotong.
Yeah.
Haotong thought he made it. It just never really...
Just not enough oomph in it.
Yeah, just ran out of pace. And Justin's was always low for me. I don't know how he caught the hole, to be honest with you. And back they went.
And back they went, back to the first playoff hole, which is the 18th. And there used to be a tree in the middle of that fairway. They've taken that out now.
Yeah. They're being kind to the players for once.
Well, you could hit a nice tee shot and be the canopy of the tree would be right in your trajectory.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, it probably is.
And interesting to see the way the two players saw it, because Justin saw it as a 3-wood and leave himself a longer second, a 5-iron from over 200 yards uphill. And Haotong saw it as a driver and try and smoke it further down there, taking on the water and the bunkers.
Well, and you'd have to say that Haotong's approach, because he hit it a lot closer than Justin, was possibly the right one for him. Justin's more of a control player. He want to get the ball in play.
He's percentages, isn't he?
And he doesn't mind it in 5-irons, 6-irons, 4-irons. It doesn't matter to Justin. He's still going to get it up there. And, it came down to... Well, let's be honest, it just came down to Haotong's putting, didn't it?
Justin kind of, in his own words, dollied it down
a little bit. Yeah, made his par.
And then you think, yeah, maybe Haotong's going to knock this one in.
You would think, but he didn't. And then he rushed it. What happened to the next one?
He hit it so fast.
He did. He just wanted to get over and done with, really.
He just didn't have enough composure.
It wasn't 3 feet, not in my eye, anyway.
He didn't hit the hole. He hit it very fast and blocked it. And
saw a couple of those, though, on the back nine of Haotong Lee as well. So... He obviously wasn't feeling that comfortable over the short ones yesterday.
Yeah, I think if he looks back at that to progress as a player, if he looks back at himself on camera playing that last hole, he can learn a lot just to pace himself a little bit.
Because
he lined it up, got to it, and hit it so quickly.
I think when you get involved in tournaments at that end, your heart rate goes up, and the one thing you learn, I'm sure, and Justin, is to slow down because you think you're doing stuff slowly, but you're not. So you just need to have a word with yourself or the caddy just to calm yourself down and just go through your routine, which he didn't do.
He didn't do, and it cost him in the end because it was a successful defence for Justin Rose. Let's hear what he had to say afterwards.
It was a fun battle. Obviously, I got myself two ahead with a few to play. Haotong made a wonderful eagle there at 15. The 16th, we both were right in there tight. And, I kind of got my nose in front again. And, disappointing for me to finish 5-5, really. I mean, the 5 at 18, you can somewhat live with. The 5 at 17, I should have cleaned that hole up a bit easier than I did. But, it ended up okay in the end. And obviously, I do have a spare thought for Haotong. It's a tough way to finish that. Obviously, he's hit a positive putt to try and win. And then that green, like I said, is very tough.
No, it's the first time you've successfully defended a title. How important to you is that?
Yeah, really important. It's taken me a long time to do it. Maybe I haven't won enough tournaments to give myself enough opportunities to defend. But, this golf course obviously suits my eye. And when you do find a golf course that does suit your eye, you feel like you should give yourself a few opportunities to win there. So, but to do it back-to-back was very special this week.
And, of course, the win takes you back to world number one as well, which is a fantastic position to be in.
Yeah, really nice. That's just something to be proud of. It doesn't mean much. It doesn't give you much. It certainly doesn't give you any extra, it doesn't make you one under par on the first tee next time you play. But it's just something to be proud of for sure.
Justin, 1.3 million points behind Francesco Molinari in the race to Dubai, not going to South Africa. I know players can't play every single week. It's impossible, and he's had a busy schedule of late, but you would think, as a ball striker's golf course, the Gary Player Country Club would have suited Justin Rose down to a tee. If he was in the field and you were going for your picks, you'd probably, if you're going first, pick him.
I agree, you would. Yeah, be certainly in the top two or three likely winners. But you can say that about if he played anywhere, really. He's had a long stretch with the FedEx Ryder Cup, then he was host of British Masters.
He went HSBC.
HSBC here. You can't keep pressing the button, Rob. But last year he went through a similar scenario, didn't he, where he's challenging for the race to Dubai and ended up being just outpipped by Tommy Fleetwood. So it's a similar scenario for Justin, but he's electing not to go.
Well, number one, he certainly has had a phenomenal run of late, Justin Rose, no doubt about that. Social media. Luke Donald said, consistency is sometimes an undervalued commodity in our sport. No one has been as consistent as Justin Rose the last couple of years. Amazing achievement. Again, congrats to Team Rose on the victory and world number one status. Fooch, obviously the man who's benefiting most, apart from Justin himself, from his amazing play. The two of them make a great team. A lovely ice-cold Budweiser watching the sun go down on another amazing day. Huge congrats to the boss, Justin Rose, on defending a title for the first time and returning to the world number one spot. There are other beers available, of course. Let's get the thoughts of a pretty despondent runner-up, Hao Tong Li.
Hao Tong, obviously a tough day, but the eagle late on kept the pressure on it and you gave yourself a chance.
Yeah. There's a kind of like turning point, but yeah, just some day like this.
Obviously, you know, it's difficult to talk about, I know, but you have to take the positives of what's been a really good week for you here.
Well, it's a tough day for me. I think I've been playing well the whole week, but just didn't hold a few putt on the last. That was it.
And overall, now looking forward to taking that form into the end of the season.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully I can have a good finish on this season.
He's a young man. He's only in his early 20s, Jamie. So he's shown in big tournaments that he has got big game mentality.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. He's still a young man as well. And he's learning, Robert, as we saw yesterday on his last few holes. So big future ahead of him. He's an excellent player as it stands today. But he didn't get the best out of himself yesterday, 71. His scrappy start. Looked a bit dodgy on the back. Now, I don't think it was his stroke or anything like that. I just think he just rushed a few things. He just felt the moment a bit too much, maybe. And I think if he just stepped back, and he'll learn masses from this. But ultimately, you look at the scores. He shot 71. He was leading by three. It's not quite good enough.
Nowadays, a level par in the final round just isn't going to get it done.
No, it isn't.
I mean, it might be an extremely difficult course, a US Open type thing or whatever. But most weeks on the European Tour, if you're leading and you shoot level par, you'll be lucky to win.
Yeah, level par, you're absolutely right. In this quality of field...
It's not going to work, is it?
I would have thought before he stepped out, he'd have been wanting to break 70.
If I break 70, I'm 2 under. That makes it extra hard for anyone chasing.
Yeah. Come and catch me.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see what you can do under the cosh. Also, some very good performances from Belgium's Thomas Detry. You had 5 birdies in a row on the back nine, Jamie. So he's coming into a little bit of form at the right time.
Yeah, and it's always nice on the Sunday, isn't it, to get it going. We've all been there before, and that last round, if you really get it going, you feel you're chasing through the pack and adding plenty of euros and points to your tally.
And his 65 matched by Spain's Adrian Otegi, who's also had a very consistent season. Lucas Bjerregaard and German Martin Keimer. Good to see Martin Keimer playing well again with 14 under par. A shot clear of the English pair, Tommy Fleetwood and Danny Willett. Tommy involved in the chase for Francesco Molinari, but that looks unlikely now.
It does. He's still got a mathematical chance, but he would need... Francesco he has to win the last event and Francesco would have to play poorly.
Yeah, Tommy finishes second, it's all over. And Torbjørn Olesen had another good finish on a golf course that he obviously loves from past successes. Let's hear from Martin Keimer. He says it's a welcome return to form.
Yeah, I played really well. I made only 2 bogeys all week, which was very nice. I made a few good par saves during those 4 rounds. It could have been a few more putts here and there, but in general, you know, I didn't miss many fairways, not many greens. So the game was really spot on this week. And I think I gave myself enough chances. So, and I needed a good finish to get into Dubai. Hopefully there was enough, but I'm really looking forward to play next week because I'm very close.
I read that you said you're playing better golf now than back in 2011 when you were world number one. Does that back this up this week with the performance?
Playing-wise, for sure. Putting-wise, I need to work a little bit on it. Because 2010 and 11, I putted really, really well. I know what I need to do, and I know what I need to work on in the winter time. Just maintain the long game, work a bit on the short game, and then we should be fine.
The winter time, that's an interesting concept these days, isn't it? I'll work on something in the winter.
Well, they don't really have a winter, do they?
There isn't really an off-season now, is there? It's
not
very
so
short.
They need a break, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Keimer's playing better. He really is. And the thing is, he's still got that desire, that inner desire, that burning feeling you need to improve yourself. And I think he's got that back. Certain parts of his game just need to improve a little. He's not the longest. I think a lot of people are starting to knock it by him quite a long way. He's not short. So his putting needs to work, which it always has done in the past. But he'll be a force again, Keimer, on the right golf course.
Well, he said on Twitter, top 5 at the Turkish Airlines Open. Very happy with my performance this week. Feels good to put 4 very solid rounds together. Congrats to Justin Rose for regaining numero uno. Off to South Africa now for the Nedbank Golf Challenge. Thanks, Turkey. Rolex Series, #, and then #European Tour. So he's in a good place. and he goes to a golf course that he's won on before.
Absolutely right. And that's a controlled golf course. You've got to hit fairways and greens.
You can't play that course on the rough.
No, you can't. It's pretty long as well, but yeah. It's the wind that swirls there as well, and Martin's got the game for it.
OK, Justin Rose's stats. The victory sees him join John Rahm and Alex Noren as a multiple Rolex Series winner and represents the first successful title defence of his career. He moves up to third from 10th on the Race to Dubai rankings presented by Rolex, and his top 10 finish percentage over the past 52 weeks is a whopping 72%. So 7 times out of 10, he finishes top 10.
Yeah, I read somewhere as well that his last 31 events, he's won 5 of them and 24 top 10s.
That's, he's like an ATM.
Incredible. You can rely on him, can't you?
He's an ATM.
You can rely on him to perform. Sponsors delight, I would
Fuch, thought. Fuch goes to the ATM every single week, punches in his PIN number, and out comes the cash.
He's won all these events, but what impressed me was the British Masters where he was hosting. And I was with him the first 2 days. He could have easily missed the cut there, but he grounded out. It was windy. It was horrible. It would have been easy just to sort of, you know what? I've just won the FedEx. We won the Ryder Cup.
Another top 10.
I know. And then in the weekend. Yeah,
so the Open was the same.
Oh, he's fantastic.
The Open Championship. So, yeah. He could have easily given that up.
I walked around with him there and he birdied the last to make the cut.
The worst hole in the world, he'd have to birdie to make the cut.
Fantastic birdie to make the cut, and he could have won it.
And he
could have won it.
Right there.
If the weather had just turned for him a little bit, he could have won it.
He could have won it. Absolutely incredible. So, last week's predictions, it's presenter versus co-presenter, which has become very interesting all of a sudden. 2 picks each, and it was a stellar field, so it was just 2 picks, not 1 and 1 from outside last year's top 50 in the Race to Dubai. 20 points for a winner, 10 for top 5, and 5 for top 20. Minus 5 for a miscut doesn't apply. There is no cut in these last 3 tournaments. I went for Tommy Fleetwood, who was 7th. And Tommy Peters, who had a 62, by the way, during the week. Another low score of the day as he posted the HSBC, but not playing in South Africa, a course that would suit him. He finished 18th, which was 10 points in total. Paul Eales went for Justin Rose, 20 points, and Kiradeki finished outside the top 20. So it's 20 points to 10. That levels things up, 180 each.
Well done, Ealesy. Great effort from Paul.
Yeah, he drove all the way down from that.
The pressure is on.
West Coast, you know, the hub of the West Coast golfing country up there.
There'll be more to come, won't there, later in this show, as to our tips.
The tips are looming.
It's important.
It's been raucous up to this point.
Yeah.
Wait till we tell you who we've picked this week. In the Fancy Race to Buy game, only a miracle will stop long-time leader Ingmar Bergman from claiming the title. She's just over 2.5 million points ahead of second place with 2 tournaments remaining. Congrats to Kurt DeWitt, who scored the most points last week. In the Race to Dubai show, Mini League listener Ross Andrew. Andrew Ross works as well, doesn't it? But it's Ross Andrew. He was the highest scorer, while Aaron Griffiths still leads overall. Head to europeantour.com for the Fantasy 3 to watch this week at the Nedbank Golf Challenge, hosted by Gary Player. Gary will be there. You've met Gary.
A few times.
He's the most amazing chap. He really is.
Oh, you can't stop him talking. He's fantastic.
He's non-stop. He's like that Duracell battery ad, and his energy for someone who's comfortably in his 80s is absolutely incredible.
Absolutely amazing, man.
You know when you know the new phones, you don't actually have to plug anything in. You just sit it on top of the charger and it plugs. If you sort of sidle up next to Gary, that's what you feel like. You're energized.
You get that boost of energy.
Unbelievable, yeah. If you're feeling lethargic, just try and get close to Gary Player.
I remember I played in 2000 Open, and Gary was there and took my lad, and he spoke to my lad for about 10, 15 minutes. He was fantastic with him. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic.
Oh, that's
going to
hear
ball and all the rest of it was great.
And you know, if you get Gary and it kind of outside his official engagements, just, you know, chat, locker room chat, all those stories that you heard about the Ben Hogan story and all those, they're all true.
Mm.
He can rattle through them all.
He's
and you
got
think,
a few.
God, when I heard that story when I was sort of 20, and then you speak to him as a 50-something, and it's exactly as it was told then, it's quite amazing. He's got so many stories. Jamie, top 10, please, in the Race to Dubai, before we get to news from around the golfing world.
Well, Rob, in 10th spot is Eddie Pepperell. Hao Tong Lee is in 9th. Rory McIlroy, number 8. Alex Noren is 7th. Torbjørn Olesen, what a great year for him. He's at number 6. Xander Schauffele is at number 5. And Patrick Reed at number 4. Justin has moved up to number 3. Tommy Fleetwood at number 2. And the Open champ, Francesco Molinari, the number 1.
And probably going to be the number 1 for the season as well.
And he deserves it, Robert.
Yeah, he's had a phenomenal year, has young Molinari, and he's been recharging the batteries before he gets to Dubai. Now, news, as a promise, from around the golfing world. The challenge to the season came to a close in dramatic fashion at the Ras Al Khaimah Challenge Tour Grand Final as 15 players earned graduation to the European Tour. Spain's Adri Arnaus won the event itself with a wire-to-wire win, while Denmark's Jochen B. Hansen finished as the road to Ras Al Khaimah number one. You know, at the end of a long, long season on the Challenge Tour, it's hard for... It's a bit like the Championship in football. It's so volatile. To get one of those 15 spots, gold dust.
Yeah, and there's plenty of players who didn't get their card in the top 15 who probably felt they should or could. Dan Housing, double bogey 17 when it was in the palm of his hand, unfortunately. Tom Murray, he finished number 16, not where you want to finish. 74-73, last two rounds of Tom, he'd be kicking himself. Unfortunately, 25th spot. Oliver Wilson, past European Tour winner, Ryder Cup player. He finished in 17th spot. So a lot of players who will be disappointed, but equally the top 15, Rob, are going to have a real good crack at the European Tour next year. Four Scots. Great to have four Scots. Two Finns as well in that top 15. So some really good talent, some good young talent, some players we've seen before as well. So very exciting for all of them.
It sure is, and let's wish them all luck as they embark on a full season on the European Tour. We'll get to the new schedule in a minute, but first up, it's well worth reading out the top 15 qualifiers at the Road to Ras Al Khaimah rankings.
Yes, it certainly is, Rob. And a Portuguese player, great to see a Portuguese player out there, Pedro Figueiredo, finishing 15th. David Law, the first of the Scots I mentioned, is at 14th. Lorenzo Galli, we've seen him a few times. Robert McIntyre, new name to me, from Scotland at 12. Sean Crocker from the United States. We've seen him hovering around the last few years, Sean, done well. Liam Johnston, another Scot, at 10th. Stuart Manley, the Welshman. Stuart's been around a few years, needs to establish himself. The first of the Finns, Kim Koivu, at 8. Grant Forrest, the other Scot, he's at number 7. Jack Singh Brah from England at number 6. Sebastian Soderberg, the Swede. Big hitting, Sebastian Soderberg as well. He finished number 5. The next Finnish player, Kalle Samuja, at 4. Victor Perez from France at number 3. The winner from last week, Adri Arnaus, is at number 2. And the champ, the number 1 on the Challenge Tour. Quite a feat, that. Jochen B. Hansen from Denmark.
Who's been out on tour before.
He has been out on tour before.
Does that help?
I think a lot of these players have
you know, they yo-yo a little bit to start with.
A little bit of yo-yo. It takes some time to find your game as a professional player. There's some young talent there, some slightly older talent there, but it gives you a great opportunity to get onto the European Tour.
Do you think that when you get your card in the Challenge Tour, that some players think they've got to now, when they get to the big tour, do something different, as opposed to just keep doing what you're doing? Do the same.
There's probably an element of that. I don't think all of them will do that. Some will just realise that it's small steps that makes you better rather than trying to make those big leaps is what you're talking about, really. I think the golf courses are different. Definitely.
Yeah, tougher setups on the main tour.
You can play Abu Dhabi and these places with the rough up and the greens a little bit quicker. That's the difference. And obviously playing in front of bigger crowds and suddenly you're walking on to the practice ground and Rory McIlroy, Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose are practicing next to you. That takes a little bit of getting used to
mentally. And also, you are, if you're out on tour for the first time, playing against guys who know these courses very well.
Well, that's exactly
and,
right.
And so that puts you, again, behind the eight ball.
Yeah, you're probably...
And every time you get a start, you feel like you've got to make some money because you're not getting into the Rolex events and things like that. So your tournaments that you pitch up in, you have to really get going quickly.
Preparation is key for these players, and I'm sure they'll all turn up early for each of the event, but... Yeah, of course, form. You think of Tommy Fleetwood round, let's say, talk about Abu Dhabi, for example. Even when you go down to South Africa, the South African events, you're coming up against the South African players who know those courses like the back of their hand and the altitude, different grass, and the variety you have on the European Tour, which is something these players are getting used to because the Challenge Tour go to far-off climbs as well. So they're used to travelling, they're used to playing on different golf courses. It's just a little bit... The courses are definitely harder, and that's something you just have to be aware of in your game.
Well, you know, you picked out the perfect name, Tommy Fleetwood, who won the Challenge Tour, came out on tour, struggled to establish himself, then changed coaches, righted the ship, and now is certainly one of the world's best players. And so that shows the process that even if you're really talented, you might have to go through.
That's exactly right. Look at Henrik Stenson. He came out as well from the Challenge Tour, having won it, and he went through a period where he just lost parts of his game. But look what happened to Henrik Stenson. Thomas Bjorn came through it. There's lots of fantastic golfers that have come through the Challenge Tour and have had their struggles, and you're going to as a professional golfer.
Yeah.
But it's how you deal with them, and it's the answers you come up with, and Tommy's certainly come up with the right ones.
Yeah, he's certainly the flag bearer for the Challenge Tour. So let's talk about the new schedule, Jamie. Rejiggle because of moves afoot across the Atlantic with the bringing forward of the fourth major becoming now the second major, the USPGA Championship, the players getting moved to March. We've had to react. How do you see 2019 panning out?
There's been some movement, Robert, in the schedule. And Abu Dhabi's become a Rolex event. See, Tommy Fleetwood is now hosting the British Masters up at Hillside. Great course, Hillside. Not played it.
One of the courses, it's a really good course. No, you'd love it.
I know. I keep looking at it on the other side of Birkdale.
Railway line out of bounds down the left.
Yeah, I know.
Trust me,
I
spotted that.
It's funny how you spotted that. Hey! Great course up there. It's a great little strip of land there up at Southport.
Formby, SNA.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Birkdale's probably the best course I've ever played, without question.
Right.
I think. It's just brilliant, I think.
It's a good course, it's a good course.
We've got the Golf Sixes coming back, Belgian knockout.
Would you count Lytham in that little group there?
No, because it's around the other side of the estuary there. But again, another fantastic course, Lytham. But no, I wouldn't count it.
In that little group?
No.
In amongst the dunes?
I'm sure they wouldn't up there either.
I suppose they wouldn't, know Lytham St. Anne. So yeah, go on.
So it's looking good. Kenya.
That's kind of an upgrade from the Challenger to the main tour.
I played a few Kenyan Opens myself. Back in the day.
Lost in a playoff.
Yeah. Nice playing at Nairobi with the altitude. The ball sort of floats up there. It's nice. It's an ever-changing feast of golf. And the reason why is because USPGA has moved to May. So it brings our BMW PGA Championship is going to move back to autumn.
We continue to innovate on the European Tour, and three events that we had this year are on the schedule next year. The Golf Sixes, which goes to Portugal, and the Shot Clock Challenge returns, as does the Belgian Knockout, which was a great success.
Yeah, I was
run by the Thomas Peters family.
Yeah, it was super, really good little innovation there. I was at the Shot Clock Challenge as well. It's great to see the players in the hole playing about the four-hour mark and getting on with it. I think the fact there was a referee with each group actually, and the clock starts, the majority of the players were so far within their allotted time. Of
it's
40
so
seconds.
Easy.
It was 40 so easy.
Seconds, they realised it's such a long,
it
time.
A long time. And they were ready. They were
if
all
you're
ready organized. To play. They were ready to play.
It's forever.
It was great. Yeah. Great week that. So I'm glad that's back. Although technically it's not an easy thing to rig up all the timing mechanisms.
As a technical feat, for a first time effort, it was amazing. Brilliant. To get the clocks and the TV and all married together. It was quite the operation to get that to work.
When you start the clock, when don't you? But it created a lot of debate around the world about speed of play. So that's good. That's back.
Golf Sixes, we know that. Men and women are going to be playing at the Trophy Hassaneh in Morocco. They've had them playing at the same venue in the same week.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So that presume that will be in Rabat, and they'll put them on the same course. So that will lessen the field, I'm thinking, for us and for them. But I'm not against it at all. I'm not against it at all. I think it's a great idea.
And the Vic Open in Australia in February? I've played the Vic Open down at Kingston Heath.
Yeah, great course. That's a great sandbelt of golf courses.
Amazing courses there.
Yeah.
So that makes its debut on the European Tour as well.
Yeah, you've got Victoria Golf Club, Royal Melbourne, I think Metropolitan. There's a lot of golf courses on that stretch. And Kingston Heath, well, that's a course I want to go and play.
That's Sunningdale with sunshine.
I want to go and play there.
Have you not played Kingston Heath?
No.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
I played Royal Melbourne quite a few times. That's one of my favourites.
But that's a hybrid. That's not even a golf course.
Yeah, I know. It's a composite. It doesn't matter. But the greens are the best greens I've ever been on.
They are they're wicked, aren't they?
Oh, they're brilliant.
They're wicked.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I've never played Royal Melbourne, but I've played Kingston Heath. So
we've got a wedge in your hand. You know you've got to hit it.
If you don't hit a perfect shot,
you're off.
Even with a 100-yarder,
it's brilliant.
Yeah, you can't switch off at all. It's quite the test. The 12-month schedule will run from November, which is now, 2018, to November 2019, and emphasises the global nature of the European Tour, which is true. 48 tournaments in 31 countries spanning 5 continents. We are everywhere. Europe, Asia, Africa, Australasia, and North America. For more information, head to europeantour.com. And on the PGA Tour, Bryson DeChambeau won his fourth event in a 12-month period. That's amazing. Just this year, with a one-shot win over Patrick Cantlay at the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open in Las Vegas. He is becoming an unbelievable closer-outer.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? When he's on, he's really on.
That's 354 hole leads he's had, and he's won 3 times.
Yeah, I think when he gets in the groove, he's hard to stop. He's got that scientific approach to the game, and he sticks with his process. He's annoyingly good, isn't he?
Top 5
takes
in the world.
Forever on every shot. Looks at every single you know, planet alignment.
And any time he's come to
grain of grass.
Any time he's come to talk to us.
Fair play. No, he's a great guy.
He's been great. And speaking about his position in the world top 10, you can tell us exactly who's in world top 10.
Yes, he's moved up.
You can do it now.
I can. Yes. Right now. He's mainly moved up one spot though. In 10th, it's Tommy Fleetwood. 9 is Ricky Fowler. He's hanging in there, Ricky. John Rahm's at 8. Francesco Molinari's at 7. Should be higher, Francesco, after the year you've had anyway. 6th is Rory McIlroy. Bryson DeChambeau's moved up one spot to number 5. JT, number 4. DJ, number 3. Brooks Koepka, or as Rob Lee calls him, BK, at number 2. And JR, the new number 1.
Okay, Jamie, on to next week's event, or this week's event on the European Tour at a brilliant golf course, the Gary Player Country Club. It's been a feature of the World Tour for a long, long time now, and the Nedbank Golf Challenge is hosted by the great man himself.
Yep, Gary Player, he'll be there sitting on the tee, looking at every player, thinking, I wish it was me. But you've had your time, Gary. You were a great player in your time, and he's created a great golf course here. 7,800 yards. It's a long way around this course, even for these
players.
But
that's players. About 7-2 net when you take the altitude
out. It is altitude, and obviously the name Sun City gives it away because it is blisteringly hot around there. But it's tree-lined as well. You just can't blast it around there. And the wind swirls. It's in an old volcano. So the wind swirls. It's difficult to pick the breeze. You've got to shape the ball, mainly right to left. I've played there quite a few times. And some of the, especially the first few holes, the Canberra, the fairway, all go left to right, and the holes go right to left. So I think it suits someone who can hit that shape of shot. The 18th, perfect example of that. Really tough finishing hole. And 17, actually around the lake as well, and over the water again. So great course and different grass. You've got these Kikuyu fairways, which when they're cut really tight are absolutely fantastic. Mm. But when it's in the rough, you're not sure what's coming, to be honest with you.
But so Kikuyu, great what you can't do with Kikuyu is hit... When you're around the green, it's hit the sandwich back foot trap into the bank and get it to bump forward and check it because it just comes straight back at you.
It's like treacle.
It's treacle. Yeah, it is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It just sticks. You can hit it with a 7-iron. It just kills it.
And the greens are really clever the way they're kind of clover shaped a little bit. So there are little corners where they can put flags and they're always tucked around bunkers or they're not that big. It's really clever.
Big bunkers, small greens actually. So, and you're absolutely right. It's little slithers of green up the.
So you can protect the scoring a little bit around there.
Definitely, and the par fives are always, always demanding. The ninth hole's over the water. It's always great watch.
The ball striker's paradise.
It is. I think it is. Yeah, it definitely is, which is why I failed to make a cut dismally around there.
So talk about some of the players that are going down there.
Well, Rory's going. Needs to get his driver straightened out, Rory, and he can compete there easily. Sergio, who's... just coming into his form at the right time of the year, at the end of the year for here, I think, Sergio. Again, tee to green, he's fantastic. A lot of good South African players with Brandon Grace, Charles Schwartzel's playing, Louis Oosthuizen, Brandon Stone, George Kutsia. So they're always a force down here, the South Africans. Lee Westwood.
Former winner on this golf course.
On this golf course. And Danny Willett and Martin Keim, they've all won. So, and they're all playing well, all three of those. So I expect them to figure as well. Hao Tong Lee. Last year, he'd be looking for making up that disappointment. He could do.
Yeah, he could do.
From last week.
Yeah.
Matt Wallace, multiple winner this year as well.
Lucas Bjerregaard will be loving the way and how far his ball is flying around there.
Well, he's an impressive player, Bjerregaard.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to be around for a few years. Matt Fitzpatrick, will that suit Matt? I'm not sure. Alex Levy played well last week. So, yeah, good field.
Yeah, and a lot of players going there on form and looking... Not only are we looking at the top of the race to Dubai where Francesco Molinari sits, now he's not playing this week either, so he'll be in Dubai. Looks like his lead might be good enough to get him the win, we shall see. Tommy Fleetwood needs to win in Dubai, that's for sure. What about players trying to make the top 60? How big a week is this if you're outside it?
Well, of course, everybody wants to get in that last event
in
Dubai, and there's quite a few players here who are on the bubble and looking to get there into Dubai, so... Yeah, there's plenty to play for at the top and down that bottom end as well.
So Rolex Series event last week, Jamie. Rolex Series this week. And, of course, the last Rolex Series event of the year will be the DP World Tour Champs. So South Africa, poised, 180 points apiece, presenter versus co-presenter. Paul Eales brought in the winner last week with Justin Rose. Admittedly, not sticking his neck out a massive amount. However, he did get the W. Because he went first, I'm giving you first pick, first dibs this week again.
And then the presenter gets first dibs next week.
I just always give my opposite person, whoever my guest is, the first pick.
Well, I'm going to put my neck out here, actually. First pick.
It's a ball strikers golf course. Let's establish the rules.
I'm going to go for Sergio Garcia.
Are you? What a surprise. Yeah, successfully defending in Valderrama. Another ball strikers golf course, well, just seconds ago.
Rob, I'm just going to take a risk, Sergio. And what about you for your first pick?
My first pick is going to be, at some point, the four rounds are going to get strung together, so I'm going to go with Rory.
Ah. Now, I've got an idea who your next pick is, and I'm tempted to nick him.
Well.
Over who I was going to pick.
Yeah, so... I'm letting you go.
So my second pick is going to be Brandon Grace.
That's my pick.
No, not anymore. Are you getting me?
We've established the picks. You don't change it now.
Yes, you can.
No. We've established the picks.
No, we haven't.
We
you
have.
Just asked me now. This is live, Robert.
I understand that, but we've gone through this. So you're not having. In other words, you've had two first picks.
No,
because you were going to pick Brandon Grace.
Let's go back a sec. You gave me the first pick. I went with
Sergio.
Then you have the next pick and you go with...
With the understanding that we had established our two picks.
No.
Oh, no, we haven't.
No pre-agreement, Robert. I don't remember that.
Oh, that was... So in future, let's not discuss it then, so we don't get to this point where you're saying you pick one of mine. We've already discussed it and agreed it. But no, you carry on if you want to.
Okay, so my second pick is going to be Brandon Grace.
Okay.
Who's yours?
Well, as you've cheated, Spence, you can have Brandon Grace...
I'm
going to go Rory.
And it's not cheating. You get, I get pick. You get
it's
pick.
It's cheating
pick,
because we
pick.
Decided already what the four were. But
you decided. We went. We had a discussion.
Shall I show you the piece of paper?
We had a discussion.
Would you like to see the piece of paper?
We had a discussion.
You've
about
completely
who we
U-turned. You've U-turned. Okay, fine. So you've gone cheating as you do. You've gone for Brandon Grace
and
you've gone for Sergio Garcia.
Two outsiders.
Two rank outsiders. Two former champions around that golf course.
Two rank outsiders.
But apparently with the first and third pick. That's interesting. So I've gone for Rory and Louis Oosthuizen.
Well, two major champions.
But done in the right way. Done in the right way.
What are you moaning at?
Having two second picks, I've gone for Rory and Louis Oosthuizen. You were two first picks.
Wish I could.
You were two first picks, have gone for Brandon Grace and Sergio Garcia. We shall see. Good luck to you, Jamie. I hope your conscience doesn't beat too badly down on the back of your brain. Looking forward to your company next week. What are we doing? The Race to Dubai show. Only 2 weeks to go. That's amazing. Next week, we will look back at matters in South Africa and see if Jamie the Cheat comes out in top with a 1-2 at the Nedbank. And then we'll look ahead to the final event of the season, the DP World Tour Championship, where Francesco Molinari, hurrah, looks set to win the Race to Dubai. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who once again has gone for...
Sour grapes.
He's gone for sour grapes. Is he coming up on the inside? 1 furlong to run. Who have you gone for?
I've gone for Brandon Grace and Sergio Garcia.
And
Come
I've
on,
gone,
guys.
I've gone for Rory McIlroy and Louis Oosthuizen. Bye for now.